Good evening. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." There was a plague in Israel. And though there had been many before it and there would be many after it, this was a specific plague, a plague of ignorance. A plague of ignorance upon a people who had been given the Word of God, who had been allowed to an understanding of God as they had it in the Old Testament. It's not that they didn't have the Bible. It's not that they didn't have the Scriptures. It's not that they didn't have parchments with the law recorded and teachers of the law available. It was because they lacked the desire to know the Lord. It's because they desired to know other things more than they desired to understand and to know God Himself. We have this opportunity tonight, as we have so many nights, as we have so many days, to know the Lord. But so few people in this world know the Lord. Even those claiming to know the Lord, most do not know the Lord. And they prove that, as we look there in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, that though they profess to know God in their works, they deny Him. There are plenty of people in the world who say that they know God, but in works deny His very existence, with their very actions. Isaiah chapter 45 is our text this evening. Isaiah chapter 45, starting in verse 18, God talks about knowing Him. An opportunity for us to get to know God. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18, it says, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. I have spoken it. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved images and pray to a God that cannot save." I know a lot of people. But I don't know a lot of people. I know a lot of things about John Wayne. But I don't know John Wayne. I know many of you. None of you as well as I would like to know you. The two ways that we use the word know, that you can know facts about a person. Now I know where Brian works. I know where most of you live. I might know your favorite color. But all of those things aren't all that important in the relationship of knowing a person. If I only knew my wife's favorite color, her favorite cookie, her favorite type of cake, all these desserts are very important to a woman, I understand. If I knew a whole lot of facts about my wife, that would be good. But knowing my wife is far more important. We know a lot of things about God, but we do not know Him oftentimes as we need to. The Jews knew a lot of things about God. But whether it was because of their forgetfulness, because they intentionally ignored them, or because they were walking away from Him to other gods, they were being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because they had rejected knowledge. And because of that, God was rejecting them as priests. This, my friends, is a lesson to all of us. As we are priests of the New Testament, of the new covenant, of a better covenant that they experienced, we have a greater responsibility to knowing the Lord. We've been given significantly more to understand the Lord. Lord. And so it should be used to our benefit, that our relationship with the Lord would be even greater than theirs could have been. Who is God? All of these things are not questions. They're not questions at all. Verse 18, "For thus says the Lord," the Lord, who created the heavens? Not who created the heavens. The Lord who created the heavens. He is that one who created the heavens. He is God who created, verse 18 there. The beauty of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament writers is paramount. It's just amazing, isn't it? The way they describe things. And we have to recognize the inspiration involved in those things. He says that He created all things. He created the heavens and He formed the earth. Everything. Everything in existence was created by God. Now, I can probably, and I put the emphasis on probably, build a house. If you give me blueprints, understanding, right, how to read the blueprints and do the things that I'm supposed to, and materials, I might very well be able to put a house together. God created the heavens and the earth. And let's see how He did it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made," or were not made, "of things which are visible." The God of heaven and the earth, when He created the worlds, when He created the heavens and the earth, He did not create them from things that are visible. When He called the light out of the darkness, it appeared. When He created the heavens and the earth, there was nothing before it. I might be able to put a house together if you give me a blueprint, the skills needed, and the materials. God doesn't need the materials, He says. He says, keep the materials. I'll build it out of nothing. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, He says, "God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." God says, I don't need blueprints. You know, I can get a chair. I can grab this chair right here and I can go to the hardware store and I can buy the materials for the chair and I can look at the chair and I can say, this is what I want to build, and then I can try to build it. And it probably wouldn't look anything like what is there. It might not even be able to be sat in. But I could give a good attempt. God says, no one showed me before how to build the heavens and the earth, and yet I did it. But He didn't do so just so that to show it could be done. And we see there, back in verse 18, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18, He says, "Who has established it? Who did not create it in vain?" And He proves that by saying, "Who formed it to be inhabited?" When He created the heavens and the earth, it wasn't just to be a show. It wasn't just to be some experience for people. It was that there would be somewhere for individuals to dwell. Man, whom He would create later on, needed some place to live, some place to dwell, not to just drift out in nothingness. And so He created the heavens and the earth, for which man inhabits. He created them for a purpose. He says, "Who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is no other." And there is no other. He is not the God who created the heavens and the earth. He is God who created the heavens and the earth. And we need to make that distinction. We don't live in a time where people believe there are multiple gods here in America for the most part. And I have to make both of those, I have to say both of those things, don't I? Here in America, for the most part. Because in other countries, you still have polytheism. You still have people believing that, sure, they can have the God of the Bible and you can have the God of the Torah. Some people believe it to be the same God. Totally not. And you've got people who believe in Buddhism or Hinduism or on and on and on and on and on and on and on. He is not the God who created the heavens and the earth, as if in the Greek society you had Zeus, the king of the gods. You had the god of Hades. You had the god of love. You had the god of... No, He is God. He says there is no other. So He is not the God who created, He is God who created. Just as Romans chapter 1 and verse 18...